Hi there, and welcome to the Man in the Van podcast, your regular audio drive time companion, where our main aim is education through a conversation. Through our conversations, delve deep into all things related to the tradesperson contracting community, from news to education to industry happenings, helping you do better business while building a better and improved South African tradesmen and women contracting community. Thanks for tuning in. Let's start the conversation.
Very warm welcome to our audience members. My name is Willem Klopper. I am your host, and in this episode, we will discuss the option for plumbers of joining the list of service providers in the insurance sector. Now, with me in studio, I've got my anchor, Mr. Steve Brown from IOPSA, my anchor, Ms. Lorraine Moy from PIRB, and then I've got my two guests from King Price, Ria and Marianne. Just before we give our guests the opportunity to introduce themselves, let's hit the brakes. We'd like to remind our audience that this episode is proudly brought to you by Articulated Plumber. Let's continue the conversation. I would like to just for you to introduce yourselves to the audience. If you could just give us a quick brief bio of yourselves, who you are, why you are in the sector, when did you join the sector, and what your current role in the sector is.
Hi, good morning, everybody. My name is Ria Ferial. I'm the partner in community schemes. I'm looking after the whole community schemes portfolio in King Price. I love the diversity of the sector, which brings everything to the table for like insurance, plumbing, construction, asset management, legislation, and then, of course, also the people that I love to work with. I'm a problem solver, and that's why the challenges that this brings to the table I love so much. I've joined the industry 32 years ago, working in all different sectors, being a broker, being an administrator, working in the UMA environment and in the insurance companies as well.
I'm Marion Dijssel. I'm currently our community schemes claim team manager. In our team, we are dealing with the claims 24/7, almost, I can say. And those challenges and high pressure, which happens in the claim team, with any claims environment, it really exhilarates me. That's what pushes me every day to get up and just put a smile on your face and go forward. So I've been in the insurance industry since 2010. I started working out at a broker's office. I was just a basic admin lady, and I worked myself up from there words to be our current team claims manager.
So I hear both of you using the word claims and that you work with claims. Can I just ask the claims that you're referring to, what kind of claims do you work with in your specific positions?
Willem, yes, claims is our daily bread and butter. And yes, the majority of our claims, 65% in fact of our claims coming into Marianne's space daily, is water related. So it comes from either a burst or a leaking pipe to a geyser that have burst or leaking or components that failed. But yes, we also exposed to buildings, where damages is either to roofs or some forth from storms. Liability claims, which we also refer to, the slip and falls, all that routes that uplift payments and somebody bumped themselves. But yes, we've got a huge variety, and I think that is what is really challenging us and that we love to do every day.
It's quite interesting. Ria, I have some sub-questions that I would like to ask on with regard to King Price. And the first question is, has King Price signed the Insurance Forum Code of Practice? And is King Price a forum member?
Yes. We are members of SAIA, the South African Insurance Association, a representative body for the non-life insurance industry. As members, we abide by the SAIA Code of Conduct, which ensures adherence to best practice industry standards and self-regulations.
All right. And what is King Price's involvement with NAMA, or the National Association of Managing Agents?
We are active corporate members since 2016 with NAMA. Through the partnerships and other NAMA members, we serve and support the community schemes management in South Africa in all the 7 NAMA regions.
And tell us, what is King Price's stance on transformation?
We made a huge contribution to transformation in the wider sense of funding scholarships through iCollege. This year alone, we've contributed 121 million rand for tertiary education. As from May, we funded over 6,000 scholarships, which means we put 6,000 workers, ready future leaders with accredited qualifications back into industry. Our business is undergoing at the moment a major restructure in order to become more compliant, and our board is actively looking for a BEE partner.
Just a quick question, Ria, with regards to the scholarships, is it across any kind of sector, or is it geared to the insurance sector?
Lorraine, it is for the insurance sector because they are trained in our offices, in the various divisions, depending on, you know, what they want to become. And it really comes from either being a PA, underwriting in the underwriting divisions, a salesperson, an aftercare person, or auditing, and also claims as well.
Ria, what is King Price's perception of and their involvement with the PIRB and IOPSA respectively?
Willem, we work closely with both companies to ensure that our procurement processes also align with the various objectives, for example, to promote and encourage the upliftment and skills development at all levels in the plumbing sector, the monitoring regulatory compliance with the requirement as in insurance policies as well. Working together with the experts in different sectors and let them train and educate the entire community living environment is our motto. I think over the past 2 years, we've really established very good relationships with both PIRB and IOPSA.
Sorry, Ria, in terms of your procurement and everything else and transformation and upliftment, do you encourage your service providers to upskill the individuals? And is there any processes in place that you check that the guys are, you know, following due process and continuous with the CPD and everything else? Or how do you monitor that?
Yes, Steve, we have a very strict procurement onboarding process of all service providers in the different sectors, and we make sure that the paperwork is all in place before we onboard them, and we check their stuff every once a year. We've got a renewal of all that they need to send back to us, and we make sure that they are on par with what they need to comply with.
Wonderful, thank you.
I think that steers directly into the next question that I would have had for you, Ria, was how do plumbers join the list or the panel of service providers for King Price, and what are the requirements therefore?
Yes, as I said to Steve, we do follow a very strict procurement processes before we onboarding. Myself is responsible for that. The compliance to regular standards are compulsory. We will not onboard a plumber that do not comply with the standards. We make sure that they do because they are representing us with our clients.
All right. And the same then goes for companies. Is it mandatory for companies or individuals to be registered with either IOPSA or the PIRB if they would like to join the list of service providers?
Definitely, because we know and everybody know that PIRB is the professional body recognized by SAQWA as the regulatory body and board for the plumbers. And as I always say to the people is that, you know, they need to comply with the regulations as any citizen and ourselves. And that's why we make sure that we only onboard compliant service providers.
All right. So now we know a little bit more about the criteria that is used to select plumbers to join that list or that panel of service providers. But what are the benefits for plumbers if they decide to join King Price's list of panel of service providers?
Willem, yes, we all know that only service relationships with clients and follow good practice differentiate you from your competitors. Normally, when we onboard plumbers, they are normally the only preferred supplier for a single client. But what we do in the community space is for our plumbers that share our vision, that work side by side. We utilize them over our entire portfolio. So that means then we will appoint them on other body corporates as well, which they weren't exposed at onboarding stage. And through the relationships that they built with the various stakeholders while assisting with insurance claims, they create more work for themselves on a non-insurance related, for non-insurance related work as well.
Is there an induction process once the service provider is being chosen?
Yes, there is. Marianne and Christine, which is also one of our community schemes partners, they do take our service providers through an intense one-day training session. And then there's also a constant hand-holding process for them because, we do work quite different from the normal, and we are very tech-driven in our claims division.
So, Ria, if a plumber was looking after a high-rise building, for example, and then they decided to change and put the insurance with King Price, would that sort of resident plumber automatically be a part of King Price, or would, I know you would go through the process, or do you apply somebody to that, you know, the guy that knows the building, maybe there's been a change. So how does that transpire?
Yes, Steve, our motto is really to support the current preferred service provider of every body corporate that we take on. And exactly for the reasons that you say, they know the building, they know the security, which we know is a huge problem in sectional title. And we take them through the procurement process. And if they do pass the process, then we onboard them. We really like to support the smaller SMEs as to the big corporate service providers, because we believe that they do have the good relationships with their clients.
Marianne, my next question will be addressed to you. I hope that you can shed some light on the following. Are plumbers that are already listed on the panel of service providers required to be on standby or on call for 24 hours a day?
Well, so yes, obviously there is scenarios where we need plumbers who are available 24/7. Unfortunately, we don't have the proactive to choose when a geyser will burst. So some of our suppliers are on call 24/7, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. But that is not a requirement to be onboarded onto our panel. Beforehand, we will negotiate this, find out who's available 24/7 and who not, just to assure that we've got suppliers to each complex who's available after hours as well. So, yeah, anything to keep for convenience for the client, but we will not show you away because you're not a 24/7 hour supplier.
Ria referred to preferring small to medium enterprises to be listed as service providers. But what if it is a one-man business? What if it is just the plumber is the only person in his business, and perhaps he's got one technical assistant or a technical operator that functions with him, one or two, and he doesn't necessarily have quite a few vehicles or quite a few plumbers that work under him that can be on standby if it's just the one single plumber? What happens in such an instance?
So if we've got a preferred supplier who's not available 24/7, we will make, if that small contractor with the one team member or two team members, if he's not available, we will make use of another one of our service providers. And then tomorrow morning he can get the next geyser that's coming in or the next claim that's coming in. So we don't penalize them for being a small team. We've got we've got a bunch of small teams where it's only one person with an assistant, a father and son team. So we've got quite a few of them, and we try to uplift them and assist them to get their companies up and running.
A little bit of motivation there. Marianne, what are King Price's major challenges in dealing with listed plumbers?
Generally, we don't have a lot of problems, but the challenges that do come up is, well, suppliers go out and they do not audit the surroundings. They don't just supply us with all the details we need. Remember, those guys are our eyes on site. So if they don't take the correct pictures with the correct reports and all the details, looking at the compliance, dealing with the compliance issues, it makes it really hard for us. And we try and train them, Oh, as often as possible. Obviously, we've got a lot of duties, but we try and uplift them and train them as often as possible to give us the right details, right reporting, and photos to support their reports.
Marion, sorry, just a question on that one. You know, in terms of what you're talking about now, when they go to site and, you know, they work around the geyser, but the peripherals, you know, the non-compliant pipe or a possible future problem, and they note that to you, what action does King Price do once they've got that report? So let's take a hypothetical. The guys put the geyser in and noted that there's non-compliant materials been utilized, and he notes it, but it doesn't necessarily affect what he's currently doing right there. What are the processes that come back in terms of that non-compliance, and what does King Price do to either notify the body corporate, or do they notify the body corporate, or how is that aspect handled?
Yes, Steve, thank you for that question. We absolutely do take all the information that they supply to us. We will hand that over from the claims team to our underwriting partners. They will obviously have a look at the details supplied and make a decision on whether we're going to ask this client to attend to all these compliance issues. Sometimes it's something like a geyser that doesn't have a drip tray outside. It does not concern us. But there's a lot of compliance issues that could be safety issues or anything else that could affect the insurance policy. And then we hand it over to our underwriting team, who would be Ria. Ria's the partner on that side. And they will from there on decide which way to go with those non-compliance issues.
Because I think what we've come across, and I come across often, is that, you know, the client now comes back with a situation, well, you insured it like this before, you never checked it before, so therefore I should be covered, and then now why are you now telling me to do this? And I think it always becomes back to the problem of the insurer. But again, I've had buildings and high-rise buildings where the insurers just said, that's it, unless you get these things sorted out, you know, we're going to waive any cover in terms of damages or resultant damage. So it really is good to hear that, because a lot of the times the plumbers just seem to think they don't see the other side of the coin, where the information that they provided is utilized in the way that you've just described it, and it's now filtered down to them. You know, they seem to think that the insurers don't do anything about a polycop pipe in the roof or, you know, any other sort of areas that's going to create damage going forward. So thank you for that.
Just before we continue the conversation, it's time to hit the brakes again.
Don't forget to download the all-new and improved App Plumber from the Google Play Store. All your plumbing solutions are just a click away, exclusively for Android users.
Welcome back. Marion, how does King Price determine the rate and the fee structure that will be paid to contractors? Does King Price supply the material to the plumbers? Is the cost of the COC included in the rate and the fee that is payable to contractors?
Thanks, Willem. Yes. Yeah, so what we do is for the rates, we pay the labor rates to our plumbers. Those rates are obviously carefully researched. We check the entire market to make sure that we are on track and that we are not either affecting our company or the plumbers' companies. We want to be fair. So we keep that rates updated and we do our market research very well. The other thing is we do not require the plumbers to buy their own stock or any components that they need to use. We don't want them, as we said, we've got small teams with a dad and a son. We don't want them to carry that capital expenses on their shoulders. So we take that cost on us, and then they just have the stock. They can just go do the work and give us big smiles. For the COC that you questioned, we currently are not paying for the COCs. We are looking at an option to include this in the future, but unfortunately, yes, currently that is not part of our package.
So, Marianne, how does the plumber then, you know, through that, if you're not paying, does he pay for that COC, and in terms of issuing it to the consumer or whoever, in terms of what the standards require, how is that addressed?
Yes, Steve. So currently the plumber still needs to comply with his regulations, and as required, he will have to submit his COC to PIRB, or his notice of non-compliance. We also receive the notice of non-compliance and we handed that over to our underwriting team. But yes, our plumber will have to still submit his COC at his own cost, unfortunately.
And then in terms of B-rated geezers, I know in my experience with body corporates and NAMA, how's that affected you guys in terms of positioning of geezers and service ducts and everything else? How's that impacted you guys?
Yes, we've had a lot of challenges with those bigger geezers, rebuilding cupboards and relocating geezers. And it's been a bit of a mission, but I think we kind of got to a place where we got a solution where we know what we should do, how to assist clients. We've got complexes in Cape Town where each single geezer is in a cabinet and we have to rebuild that cabinet. So with the bit of experience that we got, we know now exactly what to do beforehand and we just deal with it. In the beginning, not knowing which geezers are going to fit where, we kind of have an idea now of the sizes. So now I think we're all on par and sorted with that issue.
And then in terms of the body corporates, you know, we know that the flat belongs to Mr. and Mrs. Jones, and then halfway through the wall, it now belongs to the body corporate. How do you deal with issues of non-compliance where the geezer, for example, the temperature pressure valve was now discharging into the shower or wasn't connected at all, and now has to relocate that pipe, and you get the challenges from the body corporate stating you won't have this pipe here and you can't drill a hole here, and that's unsightly. So how do you address that?
So Steve, if at any time this affects the body corporate, the outside of the building, we need to get authorization from the trustees. If it's two units that's affected and it's only the insides of the units, we need to get confirmation and authorization from both those unit owners. So it's a lot of admin work, but we do it and make sure that we've got all the sign-offs before we go ahead and do anything like that.
Wonderful, thanks.
So we've touched on the subject of the COC, and we've touched on whether that is included in the rates and the fees that are payable to the contractors. But now I'd like my next question directed to both of you, actually. My question would be is, how has the amendment of the SANS 10254 standard and the issuing or the requirement for the issuing of COCs impacted King Price? And I'm going to address the first sub-question to that to Marie-Han. Can we say that since the requirement for COCs to be issued, has the quality of work delivered by plumbers improved since the implementation of COCs?
Willem, yes, it absolutely did make a difference. Our plumbers know now that they are being audited, and at any stage someone can go back and check what they've done, and there's actual repercussions if they did not adhere to the standards. So it's definitely increasing the standards, and we've seen many of our plumbers being audited, and it's such a good thing to get a tick off at the end of that. So yeah, we are very happy about that.
And Ria, the next question there would be, has there been a plateau or a reduction of comebacks from customers since the implementation of COCs?
Willem, not really. I think the lack of knowledge about the new standards still rise quite a lot of comebacks, but we are getting there. You know, it is an education road that we need to do with the man in the street, because nobody really take note of that, you know, and we do get that questions quite often when, you know, me and the underwriting team needs to address this, the notice of non-compliance and the explanation. But we also make sure that we share constant communication with the stakeholders and clients. And in the stakeholders, I mean our brokers and our managing agents who are dealing with the clients as well throughout the life of the policy on our books, for example, you know, with policy renewals. And we also have technical discussions with the trustees, and we carry this message over to them so that they can communicate it with the unit owners as well.
So, Ria, when you say that there are comebacks and the comebacks haven't really reduced drastically, or that there hasn't quite been a plateau reached for comebacks from customers, what kind of comebacks are there? Are we referring to comebacks from customers that are saying the plumbing work wasn't done correctly or wasn't necessarily done to their requirements as customers or what they expected? What kind of comebacks are we looking at?
Willem, the comebacks that we are that we're getting is, we must just remember that, you know, the standard has been there for, you know, the last couple of years, and geysers got a 5-year warranty. So we are actually dealing with geysers that's actually now in the older installations where compliance wasn't really an issue, and there is not non-compliance. Now, I think the biggest question or a comeback that we have is, but you know what? I've bought this unit, and the geyser was installed like that. So why is this now my problem? And that is what the training that we need to, you know, that we need to get over to the unit owners and said, but yes, sir, you know, we do understand that. But this is now, this is new standard that needs to comply, that you need to comply with, although you bought the unit, you know. So that is the biggest challenge that actually comes through. And then that, you know, as I said, the lack of knowledge about the new standard.
Or the since use, Ria, the since you put the geyser in, the front door doesn't lock, the window doesn't close, and the cat's missing. I think that's a lot of the complaints we used to have, that since the plumber was there, he was responsible for everything. And then obviously the other thing goes back to policies. I mean, you know, we get different policies and different things that go out there, which also makes it difficult for the plumbers and for the auditors, because we don't exactly know what is actually paid for and what's not paid for. So from an auditing point of view, that also does become a bit of a challenge. And even with incident managers, you know, they have various insurers on their books, and their policies and procedures vary, you know, from one end extreme to the other type of thing. So I'm sure that also becomes a problem for you guys, where the client's expecting everything to be fixed.
Yeah, Steve, you know, when we launched our product in 2016, we made a decision not to launch an insurance policy for our King's Geyser Guard, because we cover everything except if the geyser is under warranty or it's not a SABS approved geyser. We cover everything, wear and tear, rust, all that stuff that's normally excluded from your basic insurance, like your building insurance, are actually included in our King's Geyser Guard. So I always refer to that, this is really a maintenance policy. It's an all-risk policy. It's not an insurance policy. So, and when we do train our plumbers, when they come for the induction, we train them very intensively on that. So for our plumbers, they know what is covered and what is not covered. So we make sure that they do understand what we cover under our King's Geyser Guard.
Oh, that's great. Super.
So then, Marianne, my next question would be directed to you. What methods and measures are in place to deal with and to resolve disputes between customers and plumbers?
Willem, so as the plumbers are appointed by us and they act directly on our instructions, we actually steer away from them getting into disputes with any of our clients. We are trying to avoid unpleasant and unnecessary interactions at all times. In an instance where there might be a complaint or a possible issue, we from King Price side actually take it on ourselves to make contact with the client. We will ask the plumber to step away and we will handle that dispute, as the dispute is actually with King Price, not with the plumber. Hardly ever do we get disputes where it's with the plumber. It's sometimes more that we are asking the client to make the geyser compliant and they are fighting with the plumber and it's not the plumber's fault. So we take most of the disputes onto ourselves and calmly deal with it in a professional manner.
That's a really good way of dealing with it, because again, you know, we do have this where the plumber gets roped into it, and you know, we've got that saying that the client is always right. But I think I've been involved in many instances where there's been a dispute between the insurer, the plumber, whatever, and he's really the meat in the sandwich. You know, he's applying the principles of the SLA, and he becomes this, you know, just dump on him type of thing. But all he's doing is what he's been contracted to do, and it's really not for him to discuss policies and, you know, everything else, because that's really not his function. So I really am glad to hear, Marianne, the way in which you deal with it, because all too often the plumber's there as the expert in terms of replacing, fixing and repairing and just moving on. And it's not his forte to be brought into a three-way conversation between a broker, insurer and the client. And he's just getting battered with a big stick. And all he really wants to do is put the geyser in and do the best he can and move on to the next job.
Oh, yes, absolutely. And that is exactly why this is our approach on this.
Rhea, can I ask you, are there any incidents and or events that stand out during your career in the insurance sector?
William, yes, there's many. But yeah, I love buildings. And when we launched our product in 2016 in King Price, it is and it still is and will be forever and ever a very disruptive tech offering, because we believe that we cannot do business anymore in the old way that sectional title business is done, by meaning that it's very reactive claims management. We have a very proactive claims management system that is driven by technology, and that is why we really have this disruptive approach in the market. And then also, you know, it's really, as Marianne say, you know, we've got the dad and the son businesses, and also to see how this plumbers and this one man shows that we sometimes refer to, how they really grow, making use of technology, you know, and grow their business and really get educated in more effective ways to do their business. And that's really one thing, is that we always see when we've got the training, you know, they come in and we do coach them a bit of how we work. But the day that they come into our office and we train them on technology and the workforce application, we get this big eyes and all these questions in this eyes, but how the heck I'll be able to handle this? But 2 months down the line, they just love the workforce app and they just love the portal that they work on, because we there's no paperwork for us. We are not a paperwork claims environment, and that is really the incidents and events that stands out for us, is really to educate all our stakeholders that's working on our tech solutions.
Are there any moms and daughters?
Lorraine, not yet, but I do understand that there is some coming.
You know, in terms of the plumber, you know, there's always that statement that the plumber or the contractor is the one who delivers the promises of the insurance sector. Would you agree to that to a certain extent?
Definitely. Marianne also mentioned that they really are our eyes and ears on the ground. We do not appoint assessors on our community schemes, you know, for each and every claim. We make use of our service providers, our plumbers, our construction service providers. And yes, you know, we believe in that. And yes, you know, it is a very good relationship. And, you know, I think through us making use of them to be our eyes and ears, we also taught them a lot of new stuff that they weren't used to before joining the King Price Service Provider Panel.
And then in terms of, I know some other insurances have it, and I don't know if it's something that you like that, but you do have some like awards things at the end of the year for the best contractor, you know, the most improved, you know, how do you, you know, see that? Is that something that you guys do, or is it something that's possibly for the future?
Steve, so that is something that we are currently busy with. We just gave it a name and we're calling it the WOW certificate.
Okay.
This will be given to our WOW suppliers. We'll make a day of it. We have not selected our WOW supplier. So if any of our suppliers are listening, please focus. But yes, by the end of the year, we will have selected our couple of suppliers that we will go visit their office, take them a little goodie bag, put up a nice framed certificate for them, take a couple of pictures, put it on our Facebook page, maybe a slush puppy or popcorn, as Lorraine was talking about.
I was there just merely as a information gathering session, and it just happened that I walked into a place that had a putt-putt and a slushy and popcorn place.
So coming out too, this is an open invitation to the plumbers out there. They may, if the plumbers perform well, they may just as well get invited to come and play a game of putt-putt with a slush puppy at King Price's offices.
Yes. But Steve and Willem, I extend the invitation to you as well. You're always welcome. Okay. All right.
Wow. Geez, I tell you what, I'm gonna get ready and start the great trek to come up to King Price.
No, definitely.
Wonderful. Thanks for that. I think it really is good. I mean, you know, just to hear the way that you invest in the contractors, and all too often, and with my engagement with the plumbers, and I'm dealing with plumbers all over the country, is that sometimes they feel that unappreciated. You know, it's like you've said, they're out there 24/7. They're putting up with, the clients, and, it's a stressful environment. Plumbing is easy. It's just sometimes the people that we deal with and their expectations in order to deliver it and go that extra mile. So it really is good that you guys do recognize, the relationship between yourself and that honesty and the eyes and ears. And I think that it really is a good way in terms of putting it. So well done, ladies. I think it's tremendous in terms of how you're going with those contractors and how you're dealing with them, how you're growing them, and the way in which it's a journey that, the two of you are taking hand in hand and just driving these guys and uplifting industry. I think it's tremendous. Well done.
Thank you. Thank you, Steve.
Well, getting back to the contractors, Steve, thank you for getting back to the contractors and the guys who are out there on site doing the jobs. If they pick up any non-compliances, what is King Price's procedure or requirements for non-compliance notices? Ria, if I can address that question to you.
Yes, Marianne did mention that it's passed over to the underwriting department. But yes, it is indeed a requirement. And as it is, because it is a policy condition, which may result in future claims may be rejected. We do have a very strict approach of non-compliance notices. We deal with that in a very professional way with the unit owners.
So if I can just ask, if a plumber logs his COC and there is a non-compliance notice that he has to add to that COC that he's busy logging, when he submits or when the plumber submits that to the insurance company or to King Price for that matter, does King Price have a standard to say they only accept one page or one document, or can there be annexures or anything like that to the documents, or are there any specifics regarding that?
No. We check that. I'm very finicky about it, and I'm always going back to our plumbers and to the claim staff as well. The documents that I need to present to the owners need to be both professional, and it needs to adhere to the standards. But yes, if they do want to, I hope we have never had a notice of non-compliance where there was not enough space to write everything. If I ever have that, then I know it's probably going to be a geyser that's going to explode any day. I think the current documentation, the notice are more than efficient, and that is what's been submitted to us.
All right, and then I can just ask the next question, Ria. Does King Price acknowledge any non-compliances that have been reported by plumbers on the work and the installations that they've done? And then to add to that question, I would like to ask, if King Price does acknowledge those non-compliances that were reported, does King Price put in any effort to make the customers aware thereof and to encourage the customers then to upgrade their plumbing systems to be more compliant?
Willem, yes, we do. Definitely, as mentioned earlier, as the insurer, we must also comply with legislation in the same manner that every citizen must comply with. So each and every notice of non-compliance are dealt with the unit owner and the body corporate. So let me just give you, for example, just a brief explanation is what we will do is we will try to get hold of the unit owner telephonically first, discuss the notice of non-compliance that's been issued, and then we will issue a 30-day notice letter from the underwriting side to give the owner sufficient time to make his geyser compliant. If he refuses, then we will endorse the insurance policy, which, as Steve mentioned earlier as well, that we will probably not cover any resulting damage following the non-compliance of the geyser. But I must say, after discussions with the owners, they do really adhere to and they do make the geysers compliant. What we also do is our plumbers that did assist with the installation or whatever, which issued the notice of non-compliance, they also provide a quotation to make that geyser compliant, and we do submit that with the letter to the unit owner so that they can make use of our service provider that can assist them making the geyser compliant.
100%. I know that there were quite a few questions from the plumbing industry and plumbing sector in that regard, specifically with regards to the documentation and how do they submit the documentation and what requirements are there for submitting the documentation to you in any specifics in that regard?
Yeah, I think our biggest challenge is maybe the quality of some of that documentation. You know, we do struggle sometimes. The documentation are sometimes not very clear. But yeah, Marianne and the team make sure before they pass it over to us that the documentation are clear and readable, that we can provide it to the unit owners.
Marianne, from your perspective, has the fact that plumbing work can now be audited impacted the insurance sector positively or negatively?
Well, I think it's definitely positively. Obviously, the practices are up to scratch now. We've got standards. Our plumbers are proud of their work. They know what to do, when to do, how to do. And we are ensuring correctly installed geysers. So definitely it had a positive impact. I think the impact will be greater the longer we go along, the longer this is in place. We are still dealing with a lot of issues where plumbers were not audited from 3, 4, 5 years ago, maybe. So I think as soon as most of the geyser installations are after 2018, I think it's going to be a fun time.
But Marianne, yeah, I think it's a discussion that I've had with many insurers, you know, where I say, do you see the value in the COC? And, you know, you get that, you know, total left field. No, not really. It has nothing to do, you know, with them, or it has no value. It becomes a cost. But then, you know, I'll say to them, but, you know, now you've got COCs being issued. If there's ever a query or a complaint, you can refer back to that COC. It can be brought up as a special audit through PIRB. And then you're also getting, you know, your contractors audited and work checked that, you know, technically in some areas would never have happened, you know, and you'd only pick up issues if there was ever a problem or a warranty issue or whatever. So from that side, what I can hear from you is that, you know, you're fully supportive of that, is because there are checks and balances there. There is accountability, you know, with the plumber, and we're delivering a model that's maybe not 100% perfect, but it's certainly a hell of a lot better than it was before.
Oh, yes, absolutely. And as I say, I think in the future, the further we go along, this is going to make life so much easier. If we come to a point where everything is installed according to regulations and repaired and replaced as required, then we're not going to deal with a lot of issues. It might take a while, but yeah, the impact has definitely been positive on our side.
Yeah, because I think the standard, like I've kept on saying, you know, with some of the insurers, which we'll get to the questions, because we often get, you know, claims where we go and do an audit, and the word betterment or putting the client back in the same position comes into play, you know, where they don't upgrade, you know, they'll take out, they would call it a like-for-like installation. It's nowhere referenced in any of the standards, but it's become a term that's used for the insurance sector. And sometimes we'll be going to geysers that have been replaced, you know, over 15 years, bearing in mind the standards being in play forever and ever, but now just being policed more. And that's always the question. You know, if you've got a crap installation, you know, now you're going to have a crap installation when we leave. We're just going to tell you how crap it is when we give you the notice of non-compliance. And that's where that statement comes from the insurance, where they'll say, we're putting you back in the same position that you were, and we don't do betterment. Could you maybe explain that, you know, a little bit better than my insurance-ese or whatever we want to call it?
Yes, Steve, actually you were quite spot on there. Betterment is where we, as the insurer, give you anything else than you already had on site. A good example, which is a rather easy example, is you had a 150-liter geyser installed, and now we are installing a 200-liter geyser for the reason we couldn't find a 150-liter geyser, or you requested that specifically. That would be betterment. So betterment with an installation would be similar. If your installation initially was not compliant, and now there's X, Y, and Z that needs to be installed to make this installation compliant, that would be a cost that we would not take on, as the compliance cost is for the owner. So it's not really betterment. It's a specific idea of the compliancy as the owner's responsibility. Looking at other scenarios where a 150-liter geyser was installed, and now we need to install a 150 B-class geyser. This geyser won't fit in the same cabinet. We spoke about it a bit earlier. It won't fit in the same cabinet. Now we have to rebuild that cabinet. That's absolutely not betterment. We're putting you in the same position. You had a cabinet to cover your geyser. We will give you a cabinet again to cover your geyser.
Yeah, perfect. And I think that's where one of the challenges come from our side, as being, you know, the auditing department, where they'll go to site and they'll find certain items that have been covered. And then the question is then asked, you know, then we have the discussion with the client who believes that, you know, he hasn't read his policy, and some guys use it as, you know, a reading material in the bathroom. It's the most read document in the house, where they'll, you know, unpack that and try and go. But that's a really, thank you very much for explaining that.
Rhea, what would your final word be to the plumbing sector?
Willem, yeah, this is my passion, and that's why I'm in this industry. And I always say the same to our staff, which are the message that I will give to the plumbers, is customer-centric. That's key in any business strategy, is to put a customer first, always, and I really mean always. Put yourself in the shoes of the customer and ask yourself the question, is this good enough? Was this my best? Was this the best work that I've delivered? And did I communicate with the client, and did I listen to them? So this is my message to our plumbers out there as well, because this is the motto of King Price, is we put our client first. And because in the end of the day, they're the reason why we have an insurance company.
Of course. And I think it boils down to taking pride in what you do and accountability for what you do.
No, that's 100% right, Willem. And as I said earlier as well, you know, we really want to enhance our plumbers that really believe in our vision and our strategy and work side by side with us to make the insurance sector a better sector. It is a difficult and extremely challenging sector. And, you know, there's a lot of people that do not take proudness of their work. But that is really our vision, is that, you know, when we leave an owner's house, you know, he should be happy, because that's why he's paying insurance premiums. He wants us to make his place as it was before he had the incident.
Just before we say goodbye, it's time to hit the brakes one last time. We'd like to encourage our audience to follow Articulated Plumber on Instagram and Facebook, not only to find out more about the Man in the Van podcast, but also to learn more about any exciting and interesting news that we may have. Our handle on both Instagram and Facebook is Articulated Plumber. Rhea and Marianne, I'm going to ask this question to the both of you collectively. Would either of you like to share any interesting news about King Price, or any interesting events, upcoming events, or anything interesting about King Price? Any new fun ads, as Steve has put it a little earlier in the conversation? Anything new or anything interesting that you would like to share?
Willem, I think everybody in South Africa, not even South Africa, all over the world know that King Price is a culture company. Our culture is unique, and it's extremely important in the King Price environment. We actually have a team that focuses just on culture, and And through COVID, it was difficult to keep that culture alive. It is extremely difficult. You know, when we had our first lockdown, we had to ship nearly 800 people back home because the offices was closed. And I must say, you know, our marketing team and our culture team has done so tremendous work to keep the culture still alive and interesting and so on. And, you know, even the partners in all the divisions as well. But yes, our culture is so important. You know, in every day, there's changes, you know, of how we approach it. But we also had our challenges on keeping it alive. But as everything goes well, we will start shipping people back to the office by the 1st of October. And then, yes, I'll be to honest with you, the one thing that I've missed working from home was the popcorn on Wednesdays and the popcorn and slushies on a Friday. You know, the pat pat course. Also, you know, just to stand up and walk to something or go to our awesome kitchen or go for a moonshot coffee, which I believe is the place that make the best coffees in Pretoria. And you can come and try us out. And yes, you know, just our amazing offices, and there's constantly enhancement in our offices. You know, we are a fun company, and yes, and we will continue be the fun company insurer in South Africa.
I think, Ria, it boils down to the fact that if you have happy employees and motivated employees, positive employees, and keep that culture of happiness and motivated employees and positive employees, then obviously production and service delivery will also drastically improve and remain at a high standard.
Well, no, definitely. You know, we play hard, but we also work hard, and we need to. It is one of our visions is that work must be fun. And that's why we've got that awesome offices.
I think that gives a good piece of heart for the audience members out there about King Price as an organization, as well as to the plumbers who may want to join the list of service providers on King Price's list and panel of service providers.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. You know, community stands for everything. You know, it's everything, the whole chain and community. And that will be the insurer, our managing agent, a broker, our service providers, and the unit owner. That is the community, and that is what we focus on in our division.
All the stakeholders involved.
That's right.
Ria, Marianne, thank you very much for your time, your effort to come join us in the session and have this fun conversation and share some valuable information with our audience members. I think you've clarified and answered quite a few of the questions that we've had from the plumbing sector. And you may have even answered questions that some of the general public, the members of the plumbing and the consumer out there may have had. And I would just like to thank you. Thank you for your contribution. And thank you for having been in the studio today.
No, Willem, thank you for hosting, and thank you, Lorraine, for inviting us to join this podcast.
Thank you very much, ladies. I do appreciate it.
But well done, ladies. I think you've done exceptionally well this morning. It was really great having an insight to King Price and where you're going, and for us to be able to get a better understanding of that community that you talk about. And it's wonderful that the plumber is a huge part of that. So really well done, and congrats, you know, for all that you've done. Thank you for this morning.
Thanks, Steve.
Finally, it's time to switch off this engine. Cheerio.
Man in the Van Podcast, your regular audio drive time companion.